All right, let's go. Let's get this thing rolling here.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
As I progressed throughout the season, I felt like the last two games I played in, I was playing good football. I was putting the ball where it needed to be, making the right decisions, keeping the ball out of harm's way. And, you know, we saw ourselves, you know, win against the Titans and be in the game late against Houston. So, you know, things were just starting to slow down for me. So I'm anxious to get back out there and, you know, see if that can continue.
Coming in over the line. He scores! Ristolainen wound up and rifled it past Carey Price, and Buffalo wins it in overtime!
I mean, that was a pretty bad game. You know, you can't have those games, but I think this game is going to make us tighter, and we're going to grow as a group here. You know, we got a pretty ugly win, you know. Grind it out, make 2 points, and learn from it.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, good morning. It is 6:04. What a game last night. It is a Football Friday. We've got plenty to talk about today. Football Friday brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. And by Tops Markets Grocery Delivery. Order online while you enjoy the game. Sal Capaccio, I think he's coming in around 7 o'clock. We'll have plenty of football to talk about. And, man, what a game last night. If you didn't watch the Sabres game, I am sorry for you. I feel bad. I don't know how you can get, you know, people always say, like, how am I going to get those 4 hours back? Those are the 4 hours or 3 hours. You need those 3 hours back because you need to go back in time and watch last night's Sabres game, which was a ton of fun. It was probably really messy and sloppy. It's the game the coaches say they're mad about. The Sabres defense was disastrous. Their goaltending was not good in the first two periods. Linus Ullmark had a tough time. And they won anyway, 6-5 in overtime with fun goals, an awesome game, back and forth. And Rasmus Ristolainen, who I was prepared to come in today and talk about, you know, I think I might be done with the idea of him being a really good player for them. He scores an overtime goal. So, you know, it kind of takes the heat off. I've started to drift on Ristolainen. You know, for a couple of years, we've been, I don't know if we've been debating how good he is, but anyway. Who cares about that? Today's a day to just revel in what happened last night. And by that, I mean not just the hockey game, but I wrote a piece at our website at WGR550.com that kind of put a little bit of pressure on last night's game. I was simply saying that the game matters. The game matters to me. It's a Thursday in November, and we haven't cared about a game on a Thursday in November in I don't know how long. The Sabres are usually out of it by now, and that's not even really much of an exaggeration. They have killed their seasons every year for about 6 years, and this year they didn't. They didn't do that this year. They are very much in it and holding down a playoff spot 16 games into the season. So, you know, you're about a fifth of the way, 20% into the season, and the Sabres are in a playoff spot. And I kind of want to know, 803-0550 is our phone number. I kind of want to know if any of you are seeing, feeling the comeback, the resurgence here of the hockey fan. You were on life support. You were watching mindlessly. You were tuning them out in the second period if they were down 6-5 in the past, although they wouldn't often score 5 goals in the past or whatever. 5-4 they were down heading to the third period. It's coming back. I went out to a local establishment with a friend for the first two periods. And when we got there, the game wasn't on, but we asked to put it on, the sound on. And over the course of the first 5-6 minutes of the game, you know, a good number of people streamed in for a local establishment on a Thursday. And people were watching the game and people were cheering and people were clapping. A woman comes back from the bathroom and says, "Did they score again?" And like, all of a sudden, the team that nobody paid attention to for a good number of years because they were so bad, people are back. It feels like the juice is back. And they're home tomorrow afternoon, which could and should be a ton of fun. Vancouver is having a good year. So, you know, last Saturday, a 9-goal game.
Vancouver just clobbered Boston yesterday, 8-5.
Vancouver's good. You got your hands full. They're also not supposed to be good, but they are. Montreal, not supposed to be good, but they are. And, whew, I mean, last night, I was, The point of my article was to say it's time to get invested again. It's time to ask for more from the hockey team. They didn't kill their season in October, so let's watch them do the same in November and see where they are at the end of November to see if they can still get into a playoff race. And they're in it. They're in it. It's only 16 games. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of season left. But, man, they have some players. They have some fun players. Who do you want to talk about first? Jeff Skinner, who everybody can't stop talking about, that they re-sign. Evan Rodriguez is just such a nice find for them. Rodriguez is a really nice player. He was good last night. Sobotka is a new addition. He scored a couple of goals on what amount to be tap-ins. The Eichel-Skinner-Pominville line and how often they get scoring chances. I'm buzzing over that hockey team last night and over that hockey game because it's just what everybody needs. We need, and this is the point about, I like to make this point that if you're going to lose, I didn't even care if this team made the playoffs this year. I mean, I care now, but I just wanted them to be more exciting and score goals. And man, we're getting that. There is a 9-goal game on their card. Last night is a 6-goal game on the road. And Carey Price, by the way, woof. $10 million a year for 8 years, and this is year one. Good luck, Montreal. I mean, even if he gets back to form, that's a tough one to take. But man, what a game. I was tweeting through the game all night last night. I am yelling at the television loud enough that my dogs jump off the couch and bark at me. You know, if you have dogs, you know how it works. You cheer for sports, and a lot of times dogs freak out about that. I am at my dogs barking at me status. I was just, it's a November hockey game, and the feeling of caring about it and the feeling of being totally invested is just, it's welcome. I was terrified. They go to overtime last night. I'm terrified. I don't want to come in today and talk about how they lost that game. And well, but it was still kind of fun, wasn't it? We had a lot of fun because I would have felt that. But, you know, that hollow feeling of having to talk about a loss and talk about it in a good way because they showed resiliency and they came back from down 5-4 and they tied it at 5. And hey, they still got a point. Don't even have to couch any of that. I mean, you might be upset that they gave up goals or leads of 1-0, 2-1, 3-1. And 4-3, because they did, and seemingly on every one of those goals was like the shift after they took the lead. But, I mean, this is just, I'm sorry if I'm like scatterbrained. I've told this story a couple times too. Since I've been married, since I've known my wife, actually, I tell her this a lot. She has never known me when the Sabres are good. She doesn't know what she's in for. She has no idea how the Sabres being good will take over, and again, they might not even be good this year, but right now, I'm riding it, and I am riding this high with everything I've got. She won't know what I'm like. She won't recognize me. And Saturday afternoon is one thing, but next week, Tuesday, they're playing Tampa. Tampa's a good team. That's a home game. I'm excited for it, and I feel like it's another test to see where they stack up. Montreal is a good young team right now. They're not supposed to be, but they are. And they went and got a win in Montreal. And, man, you know, I just want to say, we'll take wins around here, right? Not just from the hockey team. It's been so many losses for all of the sports teams in the area. And you, aside from UB, because UB is carrying things. And St. Bonaventure, too. I want to say them, too. You know, you've had some wins outside of the major teams, but man, that game was everything that I needed. I just, can they play right now? We're at that's the kind of game, and this is the kind of team right now. I feel like I want to like couch this and not get too excited because it sounds like they just won the Stanley Cup to me from my own voice, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it's just, this is the kind of game that when now on the rebroadcast, I'm going to want to watch it again. And that's been a long time. We could talk about which one of the 6 goals did you like the most. How about the play by Eichel on the faceoff? That is insane. Reinhardt looked pretty good last night, I thought. That line of Reinhardt and Sobotka and Rodriguez, just, hey, look, secondary scoring. So if you want to just call in and kind of do what I'm doing, which is just shouting things about the game and not make sense, that's fine. 803-0550 is our phone number. 1-888-550-2550. It's coming back, you know? the feelings you got on a Thursday night, hunkered down, cold outside, dark outside, thanks daylight savings time, and just to be locked in, man, I couldn't be happier about it all. To have it all feel like it's all coming back, and it doesn't even mean that they're going to be good, but just to be invested. I was so emotionally invested in that game last night. 803-0550. A lot of texts on this. Brian writes in, I know it's coming back for me because I found myself yelling at the television the last 10 minutes due to the refs swallowing their whistles. Few missed calls, but it shows I care again about our hockey team. Yeah, right. That's I went out for the game, and I don't know that how often I've done that in the last couple years. Usually just to like catch up with the it felt like I care about this one. I want to go out and all right, I got to get my thoughts together because we've got a lot to get to today. Sal's coming in. I'm sure he'll want to talk about this a little bit. It's a football Friday. We'll take your phone calls. But, man, the hockey team feels back. Just keep rolling. Keep rolling. The playoffs, whatever. Be in the race. That building, the arena, this team, the way they play, they get scoring chances. They give up chances. Last night's game was very much out of character. This team tends to play a little bit of a more conservative style. And not last night. There were mistakes up and down. Allmark getting beat 5-hole by Nick DeLaurier was what? Right?
Well, it started out with a bad giveaway by Connor Sherry.
It was.
And then Darlene tried to get to the bench to make a change.
He did bad.
And then he realized what's going on, and he's like, crap, I got to get back.
It's a win, but the fact that here's another way that you know you're back in it is when you're watching a game at home and you're like, Bull, you, what are you doing? Like that one play where he's trying to pinch on the wall and it gets by him. Or the first goal, like, Jake McCabe, where are you going? And that hasn't happened for a long time. It's great. It's great. Keep it going. Just keep the race alive, you know?
Can I give you some early stats of the day?
I'm ready for stats of the day, yeah.
All right, perfect. So, stats! Vancouver, obviously, is the top team at the Pacific. They got 21 points. They're 10-6-1 on the season. Darren Millard, former Sportsnet host, tweeted out, trying to find the secret to the Canucks' 10-6-1 first-place start after building a snowman in Boston last night. Vancouver is a -1 goal differential. They're 12th in goals per game, 24th in goals against, 13th on the power play, and 17th in the penalty kill, and 28th in shots taken. So,
how are they good?
Yeah,
we
exactly.
Don't know.
It's like, how is this team playing as well as they are with them not being so good statistically?
That's something with the Sabres, too. I wrote about this in my article. They're very average in everything.
Yeah.
And I take that as a good sign. There is no reason right now, at least I don't think, to suggest the Sabres can't continue to do what they're doing. Their power play's not great. Their penalty kill's not great. Neither one of them is carrying the team. Their PDO, which is save percentage and shooting percentage, you know, the puck lock, that's average. Their possession, average. They're a very average team, which is very encouraging. It's wonderful. Let's get some phone calls in. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Larry in South Florida leads us off. Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. I was telling Braden when I phoned in that the play, first of all, I don't know if you noticed this, when it was 4-4 going into the third period, every time the Sabres scored, Montreal scored within less than a minute and a half.
I know.
Which means you cannot get up and leave because you don't know what the heck's going to happen. It was crazy. But the play of, and I was telling Braden, the play of Eichel on that faceoff. Now, if you've ever played hockey, you know how difficult it is to win a faceoff. But not only did he win the faceoff, he froze the centerman, got control of the puck, and perfectly put it on Skinner's stick across another defenseman. And the play of Skinner, I really hope they're seriously considering offering him a contract. I don't care if it's $7 or $8 million. To have that guy with Eichel, I mean, Eichel started to become an elite centerman in this league, and it's happening right before our eyes. And if Josh Allen can somehow string throws that make us say, whoa, we got something here for what, 8-9 years?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Eichel has 19 points in 16 games, 4 goals and 15 assists. Thanks, Larry. One thing about Eichel and Skinner is, you know, I think it was Dan Bylsma in year two that said Jack Eichel can be whatever kind of player he wants to be. He can be the scorer, he can be the setup man. And with a guy like Skinner on his line, he might end up scoring only, I mean, he's got 4 goals, so he might score 20 goals instead of 30 goals, which I think he's capable of 30 or more, of course. But he might end up with a 20-goal and 70-assist season. Eichel has scored 24, 24, and 25, and his assist, his career high in assists is 39 in a season that he missed 15 games last year. He's got 15 assists in 16 games. I mean, Jack Eichel's on a pace for 70-plus assists, which is totally reasonable for him. And on Skinner, the thing I think about Skinner, I loved that trade. When the Sabres made that trade, the Skinner trade, I went bananas with excitement because the offseason, it was what it was. Like the O'Reilly trade, okay, that had to happen. You know, you knew Kane was going to be gone. You sign some pieces here and there. You do what you can. You get a little older. You win the lottery. That's nice. But the offseason, to me, turned on the Skinner signing, on the Skinner trade, because that guy is a legitimate elite goal scorer. And whether you're going to put him with Eichel or who knows how long that lasts, maybe next year he's playing on somebody else's line. Maybe he's got chemistry with Mittelstadt. Skinner has chemistry wherever he goes. He plays, he is a great goal scorer. And to put him next to Jack Eichel, I mean, you're seeing results. I hope they sign him. He is of an age where it shouldn't scare you to sign him to a big contract. The money, the Sabres definitely have the room going forward for Jeff Skinner on a contract extension. The thing I hope about, the thing I think about all the time, is I hope he loves playing next to Jack Eichel. Hey, Jeff Skinner, do you want to score a crap ton of goals? You probably will. And the next step is, do you want to win? Because a lot of these players, you know, Skinner's probably going to want to win. He's played for Carolina. And his entire career, let's be honest, what has Carolina done? About the same as Buffalo. They have the longest drought in the NHL. Carolina does. So Jeff Skinner has not been spending a lot of his time in the playoffs. And he probably wants to win. And for this team, if they can show that they can win games and be a Stanley Cup contender, again, not this year, but in the future, I need Jeff Skinner buying into the idea that this is the right place to be, and the start has gone about as well as you can ask for. What's it going to cost? 7 years, $8 million per year? And it's a lot of money. It's a lot of commitment. He's 26. At the end of that, he's 33. You know, when does Jeff Skinner slow down? At age 31? You have a lot of time left here for him. He is a great player. 11 goals. He has 18 points in 16 games, and you know, the goals he's scoring, both of his goals last night, come courtesy of Jack Eichel. One's a fortunate bounce that comes off the post right to Skinner. And the other is on that faceoff feed, which was bananas. This is the second time I've said bananas this morning. 803-0550, Ken in Buffalo. We're talking about how the Sabres are great and how fun it is right now. And I know they're not even really great, but this feels like great. Ken in Buffalo. Good morning, Ken. Hey, Ken. Are you there?
How are you? I am. How are you?
Good, good. Doing great.
Good. Hey, me and you butted head a few times. I just want to kind of go back. A few years ago, I kind of called in when things were down. I said, you know what? What I'd really like to see is a competitive team that on Tuesday or Thursday night against Boston, Montreal, we got a 50-50 chance of winning, and we score some goals, and there's some excitement. And basically, you told me I was off my rocker, that that it's all about winning a championship, that nothing else matters.
Yeah.
Now you're going crazy. We beat a mediocre team in overtime on a Thursday night. And you know what? I was glued to the TV. I was excited, and it was fun. But your whole idea is it's all about a championship, or at least that's what you're saying 5 years ago. Now it's all different. We score 7 goals. We give up 6. It's a fun game. I mean, it's whatever, but your whole thought that it doesn't matter, nothing matters unless a championship, seems like you've kind of done an about-face, really.
Well, I have based on the players that are on the team. 5 years ago, it would have been a team that was gunning for last place, and I was rooting for last place, and I didn't need any excitement on a Thursday. And that 5 years ago, yeah. The reason you do 5 years ago is so you have players like Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart when you're already bad. I mean, we've been through the tank a million times. I don't regret a single thing I did or said about it. I mean, Anyone trying to convince me that I was wrong, good luck. Never happening. Every team that's in that position should be smart enough to do it. The Sabres were. And then, of course, Tim Murray kind of botched it. We should have been at this point, how you feel right now about the hockey team, 2 years ago. Easy. But we had to wait a little longer. And Phil Housley, I've been critical of Housley and wondering if he's the man for the job. Last year, I got zero evidence that he is. Last night, what did he do? Pulling Allmark and going to Hutton was a good, smart call. And I wondered if he would do that, and he did. Good call. And talking to Housley on Tuesday this week, asked him a bunch of questions about how he views his team, how he evaluates his team, you know, what do they look at? High danger chances, yada, yada, yada. I loved a lot of his answers. He sounds, I mean, when a team is as bad as they were last year, it was frustrating to talk to the head coach. And maybe it was frustrating for him to talk to us because what do you say? All you say is, we got to get better. We got to get better. I need more from these guys. And now you have a real team that you can evaluate. And I feel like his answers sound like a coach of a team that you can evaluate. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Yeah, John writes in, Housley deserves credit where it's due. Huge move pulling Allmark last night, and it was hardly mentioned. I agree. It was the right move. It was a great move to go to Hutton. I mean, it might have been later than you wanted to. Allmark was shaky, which is not the norm for him. I mean, I actually thought in the first period, early in the game, that Allmark was great. I mean, he moves well. He's a fun goalie to watch. He did not have a great night. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Time for another one. We'll get to Glenn in Amherst. Glenn, good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. It just seems like it's actually really nice to see Jack Eichel have, like you were talking about, Boris Skinner. A guy to play with. And also, if I remember right, Pominville started with Eichel last year, score a couple goals with them, and then they really didn't see much of each other on the same line. I'm very encouraged by the way this team is going. It's been a very long time since you've had something to be really encouraged about. And I think in tightening up their defensive zone just a little bit more, I think that'll just help out just enough where this may not have been to a 6-5 game, although Allmark did struggle a little bit. But at the same time, they get up a few good chances that were stopped. So I just think that, you know, there is optimism and room to look forward, but the Skinner trade in my mind is when everything changed.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much. Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not a finished product. I think their defense has to get better. If they got in the top three of the division, it would be huge. I don't think they will. I'm talking about gunning for a wild card spot. The roster is not complete. It is young. There's some of their best players are really young. That goes for Mittelstadt. Of course, Eichel is still crazy young. Even Ristolainen is young-ish. He's played a lot of hockey. Dahlin, young. And then on the farm, the Amerks are in first place. So things are coming together, it would appear, for Jason Botterill after last year, which might have been the worst slash most frustrating season and biggest disappointment season in the organization's history. It looks like a bit of a bounce back is upon us. And I mean, I can't say welcome enough. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. How was it for you? Was it good for you too? I kind of sound like that. Was it good for you too? Sabres win 6-5 in overtime, beating Montreal in a game that many pointed out last night felt like that Ottawa playoff game. Goals back and forth, never more than a one-goal game, and an overtime win. I mean, it was just nice. Happy Friday. It is Football Friday. We'll get you news on Josh Allen, some comments from John Clayton. Murph comes up a little bit later in the show. Lots to get to, including your calls and you know, feeling this buzz on the Sabres. It's WGR Sports Radio 550.
Skinner finds himself free, tried to get it in front, he's got it again with a shot. And he fired it just wide, and the penalty coming up here. Both referees have their arms in the air calling this one, but the Sabres have scored in the middle of all that. And that scramble of the two referees with their arms in the air ready to call a penalty. I don't know if they were calling him on the same person or not. End up scoring, and Jeff Skinner has given Buffalo a 4-3 lead.
Leading the way, Evan Rodriguez is 7-3 at 70%. Eichel's 5-3 at 63%.
Oh, score! Right off the faceoff. Sorry, Losi and Ganji. We'll get back to you in a moment. Buffalo. Skinner does it again. He jams it in, and it's tied at 5.
Highlights of the game. 2 Jeff Skinner goals. Brought to you by Steve Foley Law. Settle for more today. Settle for more with Steve Foley. Call 249-2222. Pair of goals for Jeff Skinner. Hey, Brayton. Want to ask me how my Jeff Skinner bet is going?
Oh, how is your Jeff Skinner bet going?
It's going pretty good. I make $1 every time Jeff Skinner scores a goal.
So you got $11.
I got $11 in the bank.
And what was it? You had to give $2?
I had to give $2.50
for every Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Home run.
Right.
So guess who is cashing that bet?
Oh, you are.
This guy right here.
And you're probably going to be cashing in a lot of ka-ching, ka-ching.
It's nice to have $1 a goal. It's probably nicer if you're Jeff Skinner, knowing how much each of those goals is going to end up earning you.
Right.
Jeff Skinner, a pair of goals. Jack Eichel, a pair of assists on those goals. And the Sabres beat Montreal 6-5 in overtime. Rasmus Ristolainen, the game winner in overtime, as Buffalo stays in the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference standings, the wild card. Buffalo is in second place in the wild card race, a point up on Philadelphia. They are 8-6-2. 49-49 on goals for and goals against. Got a good tweet about that. This is from Hank. He writes in that last year through 16 games, the Sabres were a minus 20 on goal differential. Just to give you an idea, no team in the NHL's Eastern Conference, let me check the Western Conference. Yeah, currently, no team in the NHL is a minus 20. Last year through 16 games, the Sabres were a minus 20. Now they're even.
Not surprising.
It's right. Last year was a disaster. And this year, I'm just screaming to the mountaintops that mediocrity is a wonderful welcome change. They are very average, and they're hopefully going to get better, you know, as they continue to build. But right now, put up a banner that says we're average because it's great. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Brian texts in, one of the more encouraging things about this team is the even strength scoring. Where do we rank? That's something that I always look for. You know, when we would talk about, I look for regulation and overtime wins, mainly regulation wins. The Sabres have, you know, an overtime win, whatever, you take it. But I think you really get judged by regulation and overtime wins. When it comes to shot share at 5-on-5, the Sabres are 11th. And that is a monstrous move. 11th. When you do it within one goal, they're 9th. That is the leap forward that this team has made from a possession standpoint and the ability to score is they needed it badly. How are they on the back end? Well, maybe some things to continue to work out, but it's just such a welcome change. Anyway, we're here in the middle of the headlines. NHL standings. As I mentioned, the Sabres sit in 8th place. For those of you who left hockey for a few years, the new format is that each division gets 3 teams in, and then there are 2 wild card spots for the rest of the teams. Right now, Boston and Buffalo hold down the playoff spots. And if the playoffs started today, the Sabres would play Tampa in the first round. Tampa, who is 12-3-1 and in town on Tuesday. The NHL standings with Buffalo in 8th place. Those are brought to you by Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney, your ticket to justice. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to join us. Matt writes in, is Skinner the new Briere? Yes. I think the comparison is a very good one. The difference is that Briere played a lot of center, of course, and Skinner doesn't. But the way they play around the net, I think the comparison or the fact that Skinner makes you think of Danny Briere, it's a totally fair comparison. How good they are on their feet in small spaces. To some degree, yes. I'm not going to say they're carbon copies, but yeah, the images of Skinner scoring, bringing memories back, that makes sense. Of Briere. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Texer asks if Jack Eichel can play receiver on Sunday. I don't know. I don't think so. They certainly could use the help. Sal Capaccio comes in top of the hour. We'll talk to him about Football Friday, the Bills, what's going on there. We'll, of course, continue to take your calls on the Sabres as well. And on that game last night, they beat Montreal in a game that I guess part of the reason I'm so up on the game is I went in saying, I really want this one. I know it's a Thursday in November, but I really want this one. I want to get greedy. I want to I want to pick a game from a divisional opponent that's in front of you and see what you've got. And I'm happy to be entertained. Texter writes in, if you asked me before the season, would you take the stats rankings this team currently has, like you said, average, I'd be more than happy with it because it would be a vast improvement. And that's right. They are very, very average. If they had won the division last year and they're playing like this, we're mad because they've
right.
gone from being great to being average. But it is a monumental leap forward. It might be the best they've been since the tank. The first season out of the Eichel tank with Bielsma, they were good in the second half. They had a 94-point pace in the second half. Right now, it's not the second half. You don't have to kind of find the moral victory. The season has started, and they have 18 points in 16 games, which is, you know, kind of close to that pace. So I'm just, what do I think about it? That's a 92-point pace. This is the best they've played since Jack Eichel's been on the team.
And you look at a team like New Jersey last year. Yeah, they had Taylor Hall, and Taylor Hall was great, but that team was pretty average as well, and they managed to make the playoffs as a wild card team. So there's always that chance that the Sabres can continue this play, continue to string together some wins when you need to, and be able to continue to stay with it all the way through the season.
Well, it's kind of like the thing on the Bills. They finally ended the drought, and they weren't even that good.
Right.
You know, making the playoffs as one of the bottom playoffs teams is not supposed to be something that takes 17 or even, how many years has it been for
seven,
the Sabres? Seven?
Seven,
it's not
eight,
supposed
yeah.
to take that long. You're supposed to just trip and fall and find yourself in seventh place in the Eastern Conference. And the Sabres haven't. And you're supposed to trip and fall and find yourself in the second wild card spot in the NFL because you had an easy schedule and you had some fumble luck along the way. And the Bills managed to go 17 years without doing that. So what we're seeing is last year an average Bills team. And it was wonderful. It was fun. You know, where are they now? Not in that spot, but building for their future. And the Sabres, it appears, are both. An average team that is loaded with young talent. 803-0550. I mean, Rasmus Dahlin, I've been talking about him a lot. I didn't think it was his best game by any stretch, but I'm just good with it. You give me 11 goals per game, it probably doesn't happen every night, so I can't say give it to me every night. But to watch your team and believe that they can come back or get the lead again, every time they blew the lead last night, didn't you find yourself saying, all right, when are they going to get it back again? It didn't feel like Carey Price could stop them. It didn't feel like Montreal could stop them. And you could say the same for Buffalo of Montreal.
You haven't had that feeling all year.
No.
Really. Even when you get down by two, it's just kind of like, they're not out of it yet. They're not done.
The only time I felt that was the opener. Honestly,
yeah.
the funny thing is,
the opener was pretty bad.
This right here, this season, is the exact opposite of last season. Last season, I came out of the opener saying this team is definitely better, and they were horrendous. This year's opener was a disaster, and haven't really felt like that since. You know?
You ready for an interesting little tidbit here?
I love tidbits.
So the Sabres get their eighth win of the season yesterday. It's the earliest they've gotten eight wins in a season since the 11-12 season. 11-12 season, they got their eighth win of the year on November 5th. It's November. It was November 8th yesterday, and the Sabres got win number eight.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad.
That drives it home. 803-0550. So, hey, we get to do it again. Will the Bills outscore the Sabres this week? The Sabres scored six. Last week, the Bills scored nine, and the Sabres scored nine on a Saturday. So who scores more this week, the Bills or the Sabres? They play the Jets on Sunday. I continue to remain optimistic that Josh Allen is going to go in and going to play. He practiced on a limited basis each of the last 2 days. Has to get cleared by the doctors, but if that happens, I think he goes in. They might be a little cautious just because they have a bye week, and if he is close, they can pretty much guarantee he'll be good to go for the next game, which is the Jaguars at home after the bye week. But I'm kind of banking on him playing. I don't think we're going to see Nathan Peterman. I don't think we're going to see Matt Barkley. And if Derek Anderson is not available, it looks to me like it's going to be Josh Allen that starts against the Jets. So we don't have confirmation of that yet, but you know, maybe that comes today, maybe that comes tomorrow, or you know, could be a game time decision. We'll talk to Sal about the very latest and get his read on it as well. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. The Sabres winners. They are 8-6-2 and holding down the eighth spot in the playoffs currently. Joe in Pittsburgh. Joe, good morning. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great, Joe.
Hey, I wanted to point out that last night, early on in the game, there was a long 5-on-3 that Allmark did kill off, where the Sabres killed off, whereas Leonard would have let in at least one goal, probably two, and I would have been turning on Grey's Anatomy for my wife at 8:30. Fuck. And to not be forgotten about is we have at least two, and I believe maybe three, with depending on what San Jose does, first-round picks next year. So the future looks even brighter than what we're, you know, because we're living in the moment right now.
Yeah. No, what they do with those three picks, thanks, Joe. What they do with those three picks remains to be seen. You know, the name Tim Murray is going to come up a lot and say, don't go Tim Murray with those. One of those was Leonard, the goaltender. One of those goes in the Kane deal. I think one of those in the O'Reilly deal. They use those picks, or maybe three first-round picks. Nylander might have been the pick. Anyway, it's not important. No, it would have been the Eichel year. The first pick is Eichel, then the next two they deal. So could they use those picks to get players? Sure. And I'm not going to be against that if it's a rostered player that's good. I don't think there's any threat of them doing it for a goaltender, and that's good news. But, yeah.
They shouldn't have to do it
for a goaltender. No, they shouldn't. Potentially, right. Hutton signed for a couple of years, and Allmark is the guy that is likely being groomed for the spot. So, thanks for the phone call, Joe. 803-0550. Yeah, they're in position with a lot of picks, and they look to be more talented, and things are going well, relatively. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy White with you. Brayton Wilson producing. Sal Capaccio joins me very soon. 15 minutes. It's a Football Friday, where we're talking a lot about the Sabres as well. Football Friday brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. And by Topps Markets, grocery delivery. Order online while you enjoy the game.
I think we've done a good job tonight. You know, they came back with the big goals, but we stuck with it with our game plan, and we got a big 2 points tonight.
Vladimir Sobotka, a couple of goals for him. That pass on Evan Rodriguez on the 2-on-1. Slick.
He's
a nice player.
He's incredibly underrated.
He's very fast.
I remember when we first signed him and brought him in, it was just like, he's a nice little project. He's friends with Jack. He can help him integrate with the organization, and he just becomes one of their better depth players.
Yeah, I thought it was Jack's stablemate and friend, but
yeah.
He's a very good player. And I think the Sabres' bottom six, finger quotes, depending, you know, he can move up and down lines a bit, is much better with him in there.
Don't forget, the Sabres also have Jack's other line mate, Danny O'Regan,
that's
in Rochester.
Right. Bring him up. How's he? Is he any good?
He's been all right.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. He's certainly not a point producer like Jack or, I mean, even Evan for that matter, but
right.
He's still pretty good.
803-0550 is our phone number. You can call, text, tweet, and whatever you want. On that Sabres win last night, they beat Montreal 6-5. We'll get some football coming up in a minute. Yesterday, I have a wine that's a little bit early, and by wine I mean I want to just. So I work. We work in the morning. You work in the hinterlands. You drive all over the place.
Yes,
I rarely drive in the afternoon / evening. So I avoid rush hour as it is in Buffalo for the most part.
Lucky you.
I avoid the morning one too. There's nobody on the roads when I'm coming in, and when I leave, it's easy. So I don't spend a lot of time driving. Yesterday, we had an Atwal event, Atwal Eye Care, for the LASIK surgery thing, those demonstrations, which are really cool. So we had one of those that I had to pop in at, and that's on Harlem Road. So I was in one of those spots where, you know, you're driving and you have one appointment and then you have a second appointment and they're just far enough apart where you think, I'll just kind of drive leisurely. I'll drive slowly. I'll swing and get a coffee. Like, I'm burning time because I had a little bit of time to waste. So I think instead of taking, you know, the 290 to the 33 to get to Harlem Road, I'll just take Harlem the whole way. From Sheridan Drive, I took Harlem Road from Sheridan Drive
yep.
all the way past the 33, and it took a full 40 minutes.
Yep. To
those of you that go through those roundabouts on Harlem Road every day, I'm sorry. I have not known your struggle. Oh, my God. It is a disaster on Harlem Road in the afternoon / early evening. I was blown away. So anyway.
Try having to take like Harlem Road all the way down during a snowstorm when the 290, the 90, the 190, every highway is closed because of a snowstorm.
Right.
Trying to take that route.
And the 219 can be a mess. You take that, right? That could be a mess sometimes.
Yes. I honestly,
but this wasn't even weather related. This was just at 5 o'clock, apparently, Harlem Road is a parking lot. Yeah. Is this every night, every day?
I mean, even driving by sometimes at that time.
Oh, man.
On the 290 when it can be a mess. You look down Harlem and it's like, glad I don't have to take that way.
Yeah, it was brutal. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you'd like to join us, the Sabres get a win. I wrote about it at our website yesterday that it's time to raise the bar and ask a little bit more from this team. And the kind of game we got, you know, maybe they need to be better than that if they're going to win. Who knows? The entertainment value of last night was off the charts. And Carey Price, $10.5 million for the next 8 years. I mean, Montreal is having a nice young upstart kind of season. It's not been because of Price. If he gets back into form, maybe. But I would not. Is it the worst contract in the sport? Even if he's good, it might be the worst contract in the sport. It's up there. Shea Weber's also up there. So is Lucic. There's some bad ones out there. 8030550. It is Football Friday. Sal Capaccio is in studio. We'll be chatting about Josh Allen, taking your phone calls. We've got Paul Hamilton to check in with, John Murphy, the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. Lots of fun. So come join us on the phone lines if you'd like to. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.